This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. This is getting to be a habit on Thursdays. Actually, this Thursday is my normal habit. I have my budget set up so that I can work 8.5-hour days for 4 days a week, and that helps me make budget. And then I usually try to spend time on Fridays doing what I have other times to do, like work on my own stuff. There's a bunch of little girls going by riding on bikes, and I am waving to them. Anyway, so Thursday is actually the normal thing. Friday, we were a little busy, and I was taking care of that. So it's Thursday again. It is episode 11, and I am finally going. Anyways, I didn't feel like I quite got finished last week. I kind of landed it quickly. I was kind of looking for a place to land, and I was in the garage doing that, and then my wife came out with the dogs, and she was taking them because we were leaving town, and my brain kind of just went, whoa, time to move on to something else. And so, anyways, didn't feel like I quite got finished, but in conjunction with all that, I've been thinking more about that, and been chatting more with friends about that this week, and really this kind of turned into its own thing. So I thought, well, maybe I'll take one more week and try to land what I was talking about last week, but in an expanded way. And what we've been talking about this week, in the few dinners that I've had this week, because several people were going different directions this week, which is just fine, is really in the light of the things that I believe about God being the God who becomes, you know, the one who became all that we are, all the moments of our lives, and lived all those moments of our lives with us, and knows exactly what our experience was and all that. The God, in the light of the God who becomes, in the light of the God who has given us free will, and at least in my opinion, highly values that free will. In the light of the fact that when it comes to this life, mostly the things that we experience in this life are just consequences of the decisions that we make, which are a consequence of our free will. And since God highly values our free will, I think he values the capability that we have to make those decisions, even though those decisions may lead us to consequences that aren't great. I don't think God enjoys when bad consequences happen to us, but, you know, it's like gravity, like we talked about last week. So in the light of all of that, having that understanding that I think I have, then to use Francis Schaeffer's words and paraphrase him a bit and take him out of context, how then should I live? Or how should I then live? I guess this would be the actual paraphrase. And, you know, over the years, I've kind of just developed a philosophy about how am I going to interface to the world. And I do use the term I here because I really am dead serious about the idea of free will and celebrating free will. Everything that I talk about in these podcasts and everything that I'm going to talk about over this next 10, 20 minutes or so, really comes down to these are decisions that I have made in my life. And if I'm right about this, you know, I'll reap the rewards from that. And if I'm not about right about this, I'll reap the consequences of this. And if I have to answer for God by how I have conducted my life, I'll answer to God for how I have conducted my life. But I can tell you from practical experience that I'll talk more about later. I can tell you from practical experience that living in the manner that I'm about to describe has benefits. And it has benefits which pay over and over and over again, and I think it's a great way to live. And there was a time when I really didn't have a great way to verbalize this, but eventually, you know, I did come up with a way to verbalize this, and the basic principle is this. I am going to create an environment of success for myself, and as much as possible, create an environment of success for everyone around me. And the very simple way that I am going to go about doing this is, as much as possible, I am going to try to communicate to people spirit to spirit. Because the principle is that when someone's flesh is stirred up, that puts them on a path to failure. So I don't want to be the person who is stirring up their flesh, because I cherish them as a human being, whether or not I know them. By the same token, if I can stir their spirit, my stirring their spirit is going to put them on a path to success in some way. Now, you know, if it's nothing more than just making a person feel valued for a short amount of time, that will, in my opinion, put them closer on a path to success than someone, you know, who's not causing them to feel valued. Because if you've got someone who's just chewing on you, what's going to happen is that's going to stir up your flesh. And then long after that person leaves, you're going to end up going, I can't believe you talked to me that way. You know, and the flesh is just going to spin that and spin that and spin that and spin that and harden you and put you on a path to failure. So I feel like my job in interfacing with people is to do whatever I can to deal with them spirit to spirit in whatever level I can. And I have seen real and concrete results from this. You know, we've talked before about the fact that when we go to restaurants, I typically go to the same restaurant, you know, or the same set of restaurants, because I want to get to know the wait staff. Or, as one lady told me this week, she said, you can use the term servers, because I was asking her, so what term do you all like? You know, waitress, wait staff? She said, no, we call ourselves servers. I said, sounds like a fabulous term to me. So I like to get to know the servers. And sometimes that results in kind of odd things. I remember one time we went to one of our local favorite restaurants, and I have a habit when I'm getting to know people that I'm holding back. You know, I don't just try to overwhelm people. So server bustled up and said, so how's everybody doing today? And I said, oh, you know, not too bad. And she said, oh, come on, you got to be doing better than just not too bad. And I looked at her and I smiled and I said, you know, the honest truth is, if I told you how I was doing, you wouldn't believe me. And she said, no, try me. I said, okay, I have to tell you that my life is absolutely fabulous. I'm married to a wonderful woman. My wife was sitting right beside me. My kids were there. I said, I have a beautiful daughter. I said, I have a wonderful son-in-law. I said, my life is rich. Every day I get up ready for my adventure. And I said, every day is a great day. I have challenges in my day, but I'm able to meet those challenges. I'm able to succeed in those things. And I got to tell you, it is a wonderful life. And she looked at me and went, okay. I said, see, that's why I say not too bad. But, you know, so I try not to overwhelm people, but I try to be cordial and greet them and talk. And, you know, it's amazing, because over the course of a little time, sometimes you make contact with people, and it is not unusual at all for me to be taking someone out to eat, and we're talking and stuff, and a waitress or waiter comes by, a server comes by, and I, you know, bounce into the booth, and they drop down beside, and we just start chatting. We had a real cute experience the other day. One of the young female servers at one of the restaurants we were at, she had flopped down beside me, and she was telling me about having a kidney stone, and we were commiserating with her, because I've had a kidney stone. And she was telling this hysterical story about apparently she was in enough pain, sufficient pain, that she like got completely upset with her fiance, who apparently is living with her. And so she was like throwing all his clothes out and stuff. But as we're talking, an older server walked up, female older server walked up, and she just pointedly asked her, she said, who are these people? Why are you talking to them? I'm thinking, oh man, she's gotten in trouble. It turns out it was her mom. She was like, who are these men and why are you talking to them? I said, it's okay, mom. I said, we come in here all the time. We're just getting caught up on the news. But that is not unusual for me. That when a server comes by, I can, you know, bounce into the inside of the booth and they'll flop down and they'll talk to us. I mean, not this week, but last week, we were at a restaurant. And we hadn't seen a particular server in a long time. And when this server, you know, saw that she was going to be working on our table, she rushes up to me, you know, throws out her arms and gives me a hug. Haven't seen you in a long time. There you are. You know, because the last time I had seen her, I actually mentioned this in episode one. The last time I had seen her, she was thinking about donating a kidney. And frankly, she was worried about that. And we took time to talk to her about that, to communicate spirit to spirit. We took time to pray with her. And she remembered that. You know, and when she saw me, it was like, what? You know, yeah, and okay, I enjoy being that guy. You know, that when I walk into a place, that people realize that I love them. And then I'm going to spend time talking with them and that I value them as a person. You know, but it's not just people that are, you know, subservient to me that I treat like real people. I try to treat everybody like real people. And sometimes, frankly, you know, it gets to be funny. I'm not going to go into all the gruesome details. But suffice it to say, a couple of years ago, I had what's called a fistula. I'll let you look it up and figure it out. And it needed to be repaired. And so I had dealt with it for a couple of years, and finally my family physician said, look, you need to go to a specialist, you know, you need to go to someone who deals with, you know, bowels and intestines and rectum and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, need to take a look at it. Well, it turns out, you know, this was I'm not going to say young, but she's probably in her 30s, a very capable 30-year-old female doctor. Okay, you know, so this is someone I'm going to have to be dropping my pants around for at some point in the future, but that's okay. I found her to be a very fascinating person. I think she found me to be someone who might not respect her as a doctor, and so she kind of initially took a tone with me of, well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. And I wasn't real comfortable like that, and I felt like I had a couple of whispers from the Lord about some other things, and so I tried to make some suggestions as to other things that we could do, and frankly, they weren't accepted very well. She just basically tried to ignore me, and I am not a person who is used to being ignored, and so with a great deal of kindness and everything, I just canceled my appointment for surgery, and that got her attention. And so then, you know, we had subsequent meetings, and at one point she was having a conference with a doctor, you know, and she said, he canceled his appointment. I said, yes, I did. I didn't feel like what I was saying was, you know, was getting anywhere. So when I feel like I need to be heard, I said, I take actions to be heard. So I say that not to say that I was trying to encroach on her field of expertise. But in this process of creating an environment of success for others, I create an environment of success for myself. I'm not someone that just gets bowled over. But in the process, if someone's trying to push me over, I'm very kind and generous about it, about, you know, pushing back a little bit. But here's what's really cool. You know, in the process of all that, we went through all that step of an alternate treatment that didn't work. And so when she said, okay, she said, now we'll do it my way. And I said, that's just fine. And I didn't grouse at her about, oh, well, she's just trying to tell me. That's fine. And I was perfectly cooperative and everything was great. To the point that there came one point when I was going to have an appointment with her that I heard her heels clicking down the hallway because she wore heels to do rounds in, which I thought was an intriguing idea. I heard her heels clicking in as I was waiting in one of her examination rooms. And I heard her pull the chart out of the door. And as she opened the door, I don't know if she was actually saying it about me, but I took it that it was about me. She opened the chart and heard her say, oh, it's my friend. Because even though we had butted heads over an issue, I had conducted myself in such a way that she knew I valued her as a person. And, you know, there's... here's the deal. The particular treatment that worked, honestly, It was like I dropped for 6 weeks into some kind of weird S&M movie. I mean, I kid you not, I'm not going to go into the details about the treatment, but I was in pain. And just about the time that I would get done being in pain, I would have to go see her, and she would put me in more pain. And after we'd been through this cycle a couple of times, I mean, literally, after she would get done doing her thing, you know, I would stand up and, you know, I'd try to be nice and cordial and walk my way down to the car, and I would be telling myself, it's okay, just put one foot in front of the other, you can make it, when you get to your car, you'll be okay. I mean, and I would be, you know, close to the edge of nausea for like the next 12, 16 hours when I finally, the thing would settle down. I mean, it was, like I said, weird S&M movie. But, and to get these adjustments done, you have to understand, I got to drop my pants, you know, and I'm bending over this table and they're working on me and, oh, okay, it's not pretty. but I noticed that, you know, when they were doing the stuff, that when she got finished doing the stuff, I think this is the way it was, that she'd start talking to me again, as opposed to talking to her nurse. And so, like the third time, I think, we did this, she started talking to me, and I said, you know, I'm always glad when you start talking to me again. And she said, why? I said, because it means you're done yanking on that thing back there. And both of them, her and her nurse, just bust out laughing. Because in the middle of me being in pain, and they knew I was in pain, in the middle of me being in pain, I wasn't about to use that pain as an excuse to be ugly and surly towards them. Because me being ugly and surly towards them would do nothing but stir up their flesh. And stirring up their flesh would do nothing but put them on a path to failure. So, you know, I'm not going to do that. Just another quick example of this, of interfacing with people and trying to communicate spirit to spirit at whatever level you can. I have an internet business. I started because I got tired of not having high-speed internet. So, very kindly, 1 year, I got a call from the owners, and they said, why don't you come have Christmas dinner with us? Okay, well, I don't know anybody. Well, I know a couple of people, but most of the people, I have never met these people in my life. And my flesh would say, oh, well, I don't want to go there. I don't know those people. I don't, you know, but hey, it's an opportunity. So I go. And sure enough, I didn't know, I mean, vast majority of these people I don't know. I mean, no, one or two, you know, three or four, but out of the 25, no. Now, there's a whole interesting story that I'm not going to go into because I'm running out of time. Because I just passed WW. That doesn't mean anything to you, but once I pass WW, I mean, I'm within, like, you know, 4.5 minutes of being in my garage, so. And no one get out a stopwatch and start timing this. I know you nitpickers, because I was one of them. Anyways. So, I'm at this Christmas dinner, and I'm just shooting the breeze with people. There happens to be one lady in particular had a medical background, and that was shortly after I'd learned about the whole molecular machine things, and I was really buzzing on that, you know. And so I'm telling about the molecular machines and the ATP synthase and that kind of stuff. And one thing that I have learned is that mechanical motion, like spinning, tweaks a person's spirit and says, oh, there's a designer here, and I know that. And so I'm sharing these stories about ATP synthase, about how it spins, and it's in the book, Read Still Whispers. You can download it off the website for free. Look up God of the Mundane, I think is the chapter that's in. Anyways, so, and I'm telling them about the fact that scientists have actually connected like a tail to it so they could watch it because it's too small. They connected a tail to it, and you can see the video of this thing spinning around. And I can tell looking in front of the eyes, into the eyes of this woman, that this is resonating with her. And this is rocking her back on her heels because it's mechanical motion. And I can tell in that moment that there is a communication spirit to spirit, and that the Holy Spirit with that is, you know, speaking to her spirit, rising up within, is actually making some points. And all I'm doing is telling them about science. I'm not doing anything else. I just hit my driveway. All I'm doing is telling them about science. And bless the guy's heart that was sitting next to me. He looks at me and goes, "Well, I don't understand how these people can say there's no God. I mean, come on, look at that. How can people say there's no God?" And instantly it killed the atmosphere. It just completely killed everything I was trying to do. Now, was I going to end up with an altar call there? No, I wasn't. You know, was I eventually going to get around and say, "Okay, see, that's why you need to accept Jesus Christ so you won't go to hell"? No, I wasn't going to. What I was going to do is just get them thinking about the fact that there might be a designer. That's all I need to do. You know, not only do I treat acquaintances this way and my doctors this way and servers this way, I just got a call just this morning from a guy. I don't know who this guy is. He got my name. He's got a business problem. I'm getting my mail. It's probably not something that I'm going to do. I could have just told him, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm really busy. I just don't know who could help you with that. Sorry, click." I don't do that. That doesn't create an environment of success for him. What I did is I said, I do have that skill set. I probably won't be working on the job, and, you know, that's a pretty specialized skill set, but let's do this. Why don't I see if I can make some time? I'll come down. Let me take a look at your stuff. Let me see what you're trying to do. Maybe there's some people that I know, or maybe I'll do it myself, but I won't charge you for it. And he said, "Oh man, that'd be great." Okay, because he's floundering, he's trying to find a solution. And what I can do in that situation is I can provide an environment of success for him, because he's getting heat from his bosses. You know, so tomorrow, you know, devil don't hinder, crick don't rise, and the Lord willing, as they say in the Ozarks, tomorrow what we'll do is I'll go down there, I'm backing into my garage. If I can get my garage door open. Oh, there it goes. Tomorrow, what I'll do is I'll go down there, we'll go through the stuff, he'll show me what he wants to do, I'll evaluate how much work is involved, and I got a couple of guys that the Lord has brought to mind. I'll talk to those guys, see if they're interested, and I will hand it off. And I will make $0 off of this, okay? I'm not going to charge him for it. I'm going to make $0 off of this. But why am I going to do this? Because I'm trying to create an environment of success for him. I'm trying to deal with him spirit to spirit. Because if I can deal with him spirit to spirit, that creates an environment of success for him. If I cannot stir up his flesh, that creates an environment of success for him. Because while I'm trying to deal spirit to spirit, there is also this issue of I don't want to unnecessarily stir up someone's flesh. Now, honestly, I'd have to think pretty hard where I would ever intentionally stir up someone's flesh, because that always puts people on a path to failure. But the flip side is also true to that. While I don't want to intentionally stir up someone's flesh, and I want to intentionally stir up their spirit, the flip side is true. Whatever I can do to lead people away from a flesh reaction will lead them to success. And whatever I can do to lead people, whatever draws people away from a spirit reaction will lead them to failure. I got to tell you, growing up in the Philippines, one of the things that used to just make me cringe, was when American tourists would come over and something would happen to their bag or something. And they would stand there and holler at those Filipinos, and I would just cringe. You know, because obviously they're not leading people away from flesh, and they're certainly leading them away from spirit, and they're just creating an environment of failure for them. And I vowed, you know, that I was not going to be that person. And because I believe that anytime you lead someone away from flesh, you actually create an environment of success for them, I am hip on anybody who's engaged in that as well. I saw a great program over the weekend by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Now, I know you're going to look him up on the internet, and there's going to be people going quack, 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 quack about it. I know. I know he not only quotes from scripture, but he's also quoting Hindu stuff. And I know. But he had an excuse. He had a program called Excuses Be Gone. And you know what? He had a lot of great practical advice for how to walk away from excuses and pursue your destiny. And I know from what I believe about flesh and spirit that he is helping people move away from their flesh. And because he's helping them move away from their flesh, he's actually going to create an environment of success for people. And I am happy to just do that for people. I don't have to give people the whole set of beliefs that I believe. I don't have to make sure that people are subscribing to the whole set of beliefs that I believe. If I'm simply leading them away from the flesh in any way in their lives, that'll create an environment of success for them. And there's tons of principles built into the New Testament and built into the teachings of Jesus that will create success for people, whether or not they name the name of Christ. I mean, it's almost like that little story in the Gospels where you got people over there who are using the name of Jesus and they're casting demons out, and the disciples, or I don't know, the healing something, disciples go over there and tell them, you should stop doing that because Jesus is ours, you know, and then they go back and tell Jesus to get a pat on the back. Well, we told them to stop, you know, and basically Jesus looks at them and says, what? Why did you tell them to stop? Because they're accomplishing something good. You know, and this has led out in some really interesting ways. And I know I'm long already, and I'm already here, but just three really quick examples, some really interesting ways. This has actually led out to the place that I can freely and openly talk about Jesus to people without activating their flesh. I can just honestly sit down and have conversations with people about this, that, and then the other, and then something happens. I have a very good friend that... she happened to be at a Star Trek convention with me where there were almost more people who were the speakers at the Star Trek convention than who actually attended. And it was the first time I met her. We had the whole weekend, I and the other guest speakers, to just get to know each other and that kind of stuff. She needed to come back up to the airport here at Springfield. They were going to have to drive. And I said, look, what? I'll take her. I'm going back to Springfield. I'll take her to the airport. She said, yeah, that'll be great. Give us a chance to talk more. We're driving up back to Springfield, and we're talking about this, and eventually we get around to the subject of, you know, religious persuasions. And she said, you know, and just watching you and listening to you, I can tell you, you're a religious person. She said, you mind what me asking? I said, no, not at all. I said, I'm one of those radical, tongue-talking, right-wing Pentecostals. Which she had some words about some of those radical, right-wing people over, though. Weekend, and she stopped and she looked at me and I smiled at her and she said, well, I guess you better stop the car and I should get out right now. And we had a good laugh about that. We went on. I can tell you to this day, even though she has never named the name of Christ, to this day, when I call her up and we chat, and we usually only do it after several months because she has a full life and I have a full life, to this day, we call up and 15 seconds in, it's like we're best buds who've been in communication for months and months. And she even commented at that one time. She said, you know, it's amazing. She said, we can go for months without talking. And she said, then we get on the phone and it's like everything is exactly back to where it was. And I said, I named her name. I try to stay away from names when I'm naming. I named her name. And I said, look, here's the deal. We will be friends for the rest of our lives. Whether we talk, you know, on a daily basis or a monthly basis or a yearly basis, the fact is we will be friends the rest of our lives. Because I will always be friends with her. There is nothing that she could do that would cause me to not be friends with her. Boy, I need to wrap this up. A couple of more stories real quick. Back when I was doing Finale, which was the music notation editing suite that I authored, back when I was doing that, the company would always give me one page at the front of the manuals. And I would always thank a bunch of people and stuff. And then always when I got down to the end, I'd put one more paragraph in about my testimony about Christ and thanking God for everything he's done in my life and helped me, blah, 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 blah. Well, that kind of stuff kind of worked out in interesting ways. I mean, anyone who read them, you know, that they knew I was a Christian, you know, and the people I worked with, they all knew I was a Christian. But that was, you know, that was cool. They didn't have any problem with it. I was actually talking to a friend who was helping with some documentation, and I won't make the exact quote because it would offend a lot of people. Frankly, I do the exact quote when I'm just talking to people, you know, over dinner because I think it's funny, but I understand that it would be offensive for some people. And again, I'm not just trying to invoke people's flesh. But he said, oh, yeah, he said, you'd be interested in a quote that I got from a guy. And it's been long enough, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's something that he said, I mentioned that I knew you. And he went, oh, yeah, Phil Farron. Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah. He's always talking about, you know, that Jesus stuff. He said, that's cool. You know, he said, I know him. And yeah, he does a great job. Okay. Except he didn't say stuff. Okay. I'll let you substitute the word that he used in there. And see, some people would find that highly offensive. But this was just this guy's way of talking. And this guy had a great deal of respect for me, and he had a great deal of respect for the fact that I talked about Jesus openly. And I openly declared that I was a follower of Jesus Christ. It was not off-putting to him at all. Because I wasn't going around telling people, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. Okay, because what I'm trying to do is create an environment of success for people. I had the highest compliment this week that I have had of all the things people have told me about my book, Still Whispers. I had the highest compliment this week. Came from a friend who's been reading the book. As far as I know, he's never named Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's okay. He's a really nice guy. And he told me this week he was really enjoying the book. Lots of great things to think about. He said it's really interesting to hear the perspective of a missionary kid. And that was a high compliment to me. You know, that he would trust me enough and appreciate enough my writing enough that even though he wasn't exactly the same religious persuasion that I am, he was willing to receive from me. Because the bottom line is this, the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. And what I want to do is I want to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can more easily work. And I have the utmost confidence that when it's all said and done, the Holy Spirit is going to guide people to Jesus because that's what he does. And so my whole job, my decision about how I'm going to interface with the world, my decision about how should I then live, is that I'm going to do everything in my power to communicate spirit to spirit with people, and I'm going to do everything in my power to lead them away from the activity of the flesh in their lives. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home. Have a great weekend. Now I just have to find that little switch to turn it off. Yeah, so much for big dramatic endings.